Hey there, this is Terry Cowley, weekday breakfast presenter on 1FM Shepparton. Thanks for checking out this podcast. It was recorded live as part of the Brekkie Show, which you can catch 6 to 9 a.m. Monday to Friday.
Now it's time to drop around to Cozzy's Corner.
Indeed it is. And it's a good morning to Mr. Roman Coz.
And good morning to Terry and all our fantastic listeners. And if I could say another big hello to Elaine, Tommy, Celine, Brady, Barry and Maggie. They head back tomorrow. Well, Barry and Maggie are staying here because they're living here. They've been coming to this caravan park for well over 25 years now. It's quite a record.
Hello, everybody. Hope you're having a good morning.
For sure. Now, today I'm going to be talking about what you could only call a franchise. Films, TV series, books, comics, everything. It's all about the Planet of the Apes. It came from a 1963 novel by Pierre Boulez, who in 1952 wrote a book called The Bridge Over the River Kwai. And this was quite a famous 1957 film, which won 7 Academy Awards. It was all about the building of the Burma.
Sure is. And inspired and inspired me to walk across it.
Oh, really?
Okay. In Thailand.
Wow. Well, there we go. So there's a connection there. William Holden, Alec Guinness, Jack Hawkins and Sesu Hayakawa were the main actors in that. So I didn't know that until I started this particular stuff.
If you're going to mention that, I could have got that famous song for that song, for that film.
General Bogey's March, isn't it?
Yeah.
Have it there. Look it up.
I'll look it up. Okay.
Bogey, B-O-G-E-Y. Well, let's keep talking anyway. In the book, the gorilla's a policeman, chimpanzees a scientist, and in a fitting role play, the orangutans are politicians. And I couldn't help chuckling to myself over that one. The first film, 1968, was called Planet of the Apes, and it starred Charlton Heston, who many of us know as Ben Hearn from The Ten Commandments, and he played George Taylor. Roddick McDowall played two roles as chimps in the particular film. And the general plot of it was that Charlton Heston went to this planet where voiceless humans were hunted by advanced society of apes. Had an unusual finish, which I won't mention because I might spoil it for you if you haven't seen the original version, which was quite an eye-opener for George Taylor.
But I'm going to spoil it, aren't I?
You're going to? All right, go on, spoiler.
Maybe I should spoil it right now.
All right, go on.
I'm going to play the final scene of Planet of the Apes. It says 1968. Is that true?
Yes.
See, that was, you know, I wouldn't have been able to see that then. I would have been, you know, barely born. But yeah. I remember watching it. So it was obviously one of those movies that just hung around for years. So I'm going to play the final scene now. And not a lot is happening audio-wise right now, but Charlton Heston is riding along the beach, you might remember, and he's got his girlfriend on the back. I think she was called Nova. She can't speak, of course, because, you know, people on that planet, the humans can't speak. It's the apes that can speak, but Charlton Heston's character was unique because he could speak. So they're riding along the beach on the horse, looking a bit like cave people, really, aren't they, Roman?
I've seen this scene. I haven't seen the whole series, but I've seen this scene.
And he's come across a statue, a fallen statue on the beach, and he's getting off his horse now. You can hear the ocean, can you?
Yes, I can.
Now he's walking along the beach, and he's having a realisation.
Oh, my God. I'm back. I'm home. All the time. I finally, really did it. You maniacs! You blew it up! Oh, damn you! God damn you all to hell!
Damn you all to hell. I think that's pretty much the final line of Planet of the Apes. And if you've seen the movie, you'll know exactly what he's talking about. He's responding to the Statue of Liberty, which is in ruins on the beach.
Yes, and he suddenly realises he's actually not on another planet, but he's on Earth.
It was a great finisher, I have to say.
Well, there we go. It was a huge success at the picture theatre. $6 million budget went into 22, so they said, let's do a sequel. 2 years later, 1970, Beneath the Planet of the Apes. This time, Roddy McDowall couldn't be in it because of contractual obligations, and Charlton Heston wasn't interested. He said, kill me off. He wasn't interested in the sequel. So we got an actor called James Franciscus to play Brent. Some might remember him from a TV series called Mr. Novak, where he played a teacher. And his role was he went searching for George Taylor, who by this stage had been imprisoned by subterranean human mutants, and nuclear destruction kind of ends the film. Poor reviews from the critics.
Yeah, can I just say, it did get sillier.
I can tell you it does. But the people going to the movies loved it, so the studio bosses are happy to bring out Escape from the Planet Apes in 1971. This time it was set in contemporary USA, and initially the apes were accepted by the US people. However, fear of ape domination led to conflict, and it did okay at the cinemas as well. And 20th
that century. Sounds a bit familiar, that scenario, doesn't it?
Oh, doesn't it? Yeah. Did okay at the cinema, so naturally they said, let's do another one. So Conquest of the Planet of the Apes in 1972. Roddy McDowall was back this time as Caesar, the son of Cornelius. Instead of playing Cornelius, he was now the son of. The series also, the film also had Ricardo Montalban in it, returning as Armando. Some might remember him as Mr. Rourke in that TV series Fantasy Island.
Zip plane.
That's it. Set in the near future, where humans had turned the apes into slaves, and this time Caesar leads an ape rebellion. More profits. Let's do another one. Battle for the Planet of the Apes the following year, 1973. This time a lower budget film, and it was sort of poorly reviewed, really. The series had kind of lost its focus on racial conflict, and it just wasn't a winner. They decided to give it a rest, but of course, there's always TV, Terry. So they made a TV series in 1974 with James Norton, who might be remembered as the husband in Cagney and Lacey, Cagney's husband, and Ron Harper, who was in a series called 87th Precinct, and also Wendy and Me with Connie Stevens and George Burns. This time the apes are in charge, but the humans can speak, unlike the original film. Roddy McDowall, as I said, the third time in. This time is Galen, the chimpanzee who actually joins the astronauts in a bit of a revolt. But unfortunately, the series is a flop because, to use a quote, there's too much repetitive storytelling and not enough screen time for the apes, which was the reason for the original success. And it only lasted 14 episodes and bit the dust. They didn't stop there, of course. Animated TV series, when you've got a franchise going, you do an animated TV series, but it also wasn't all that super popular. They gave the series a bit of a rest for a while. In 2001, The Planet of the Apes came back, this time with Mark Wahlberg. He leads the human revolt against the apes who are in charge. Return to the original. They let it alone for 10 years, and in 2011, The Rise of the Planet of the Apes. This time, Caesar was the main ape, and he had been imprisoned, but organised an uprising. A bit of a reverse of the 2001 film, probably. Made four times the original budget. Guess what? Let's do another one. So in 2014, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, since Caesar had been in power, he was struggling to keep the peace, and of course violent clashes with the humans occurred, and then the film ended sort of with unresolved issues. In 2017, War for the Planet of the Apes, again the apes versus the human conflict, but relatively peaceful finishing, and it was a sort of a soft finish for a series that had a fair bit of bite in its early days. However,
So to speak,
yeah, it had a fair bit of bite. In 2020, they started discussing another film coming from the series, Terry. However, when it comes, we don't know. And they want to go back to the original premise of the film where the apes are in charge and the humans are under pressure.
That was definitely the best scenario, I reckon.
I think so too, because it was so unusual. Terry, that's all I've got to say about a series that a lot of people love. I must admit, as I've told you, I've not seen one episode.
Well, look, consider that homework, Roman. And I've dug out the march from The Bridge on the River Kwai. I hope it's by someone called Mitch Miller. So I hope that is appropriate to what we spoke about earlier. Just in case someone's just tuned in, Roman, can you reiterate that connection?
Well, the connection is that the guy who wrote the book The Planet of the Apes wrote in 1952, Bridge Over the River Kwai.
Who was that?
Sorry?
Who was that?
Oh, it's Pierre Boulez, B-O-U-L-L-E.
Pierre Boulez. I might have to look him up. It was
quite a surprise. I didn't know that. That's
no. Two very different. Two very very different books.
Absolutely. So, and from that particular film, there was that famous sort of whistling song. It was called Colonel Bogey's March.
Well, I think this is what I've got, I think.
I hope so. All right, if not, doesn't matter.
Okay.
I'll do it once, and I'll see everybody next Monday.
Thanks a lot, Roman.
Bye.
You've been listening to a 1FM podcast.